If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. And this is our theme verse for the year, but God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, chapter 10. And I hope you will stay for the end of the service. We'll be having the Lord's Supper this morning, or communion, whatever you want to call it, at the very end. And I hope you can stay. Ushers, if you would help me as well. On the very end of the service after the Lord's Supper, we'll need like four guys with just stacks of calendars. And that way we're not passing them out. People can take their own, and that'll help us a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I'll read out loud if you'd like to follow along this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and here's what he says, looking down into verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And this temptation here is not just talking about tempted to sin. It's talking about going through trials, tough times, tribulation, if you will, valleys, dark days. He says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What he's trying to say here is, I'm not the only one going through tough times. He says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You ever maybe look up and say, and quoted that verse, maybe you said, well, I heard you'd never give me more than I can handle, but this really seems like it's more than I can handle. You ever been there? I have too. God expects us, as our cup fills up with trouble, He expects us to pour it out to Him every day and tell Him everything on our heart. So the next day as troubles come, the cup never gets running over. It's never more than you can bear. It's always one day's worth, never more, because God is faithful. That's His promise right there. And I want to speak on that subject this morning. Just be faithful. Father, bless this brief time we have this morning. Thank you for the health you've given us to be able to attend. We're thankful for listeners online today that are maybe quarantining or out of town or out of the country. We just pray that you would help. And help today be a great start in our hearts. And Lord, I do claim that promise. You said a faithful man abounds with blessings. Would you bless every person that's in a Bible-believing church here and around the world today for being faithful? Just bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a geyser. I've never seen it in person. I've read about it, so it must be true. If it's in a book, it's true. Or if it's online, it's true. If it's social media, it's true. Oh, brother. But there's this geyser, they say, that shoots up. It is not the longest geyser. It doesn't shoot the highest, not for the most amount of time. It's not the largest geyser in the world, but it's always on time. How many of you have seen it before? You've seen it. And what's its name? Old Faithful. And that's what they nicknamed it, because millions of people gather to watch it because they know exactly what time it's coming up. I think it was Brother Steve. I'll confess his sins to you. Brother Guzman, years ago, actually worked there. And he was in the park, park ranger type something. Anyway, as the people gathered around Old Faithful, Brother Steve got over, him and another guy got next to this this water line, and it goes, all right, it's almost time. You ready? All right, let's start turning it on. And they acted like they were turning on Old Faithful. And the whole crowd looked like, this thing must be fake. They turn it up. Oh, Brother Steve got in all kind of trouble. And so that's, so when you think of Old Faithful, just think of trouble and Brother Steve. And so why do people gather to see it? Because it's expected to come up. They just expect it to come up. We have Marines that are in the service today. And you never say the word ex-Marine. It makes them angry. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And their motto for their military service is Semper Fidelis. which means always faithful or faithful unto death. And that ought to be a great slogan for us this year. Always faithful. Faithful unto death. It's expected. We expect it of God, do we not? I didn't look outside and say, oh, I wonder if he remembered to let the sun come out today. I wonder if he's going to remember to rotate the world. He is faithful. He always does his job. It's expected in Christians that we would be faithful. If you're married today, it's expected in a mate. Can you imagine? I'll be doing a wedding in the future. Hopefully, now I heard the Lord's coming back probably December 21st. That's what I heard. But I'll be doing a wedding in the future. And I don't think at the wedding I'm going to say, till you decide to date someone else. Can you imagine if the bride or groom says, I got a question. Does this mean we can't date anybody else? No, you can date around even though you're... Hey, people really like it. And forsaking all others, to you I will cleave until death do us part. See, we expect faithfulness in our marriages. We expect faithfulness of our employees. If you hire someone, you know, I hate to tell you, you probably expect them before the COVID to actually show up. BC, before COVID. We expect our military to be faithful. All right, it's roll call. Get out of the box. Sergeant, I just kind of feel a little bit blue today. I just decided not to show up for roll call, and I decided not to make that 20-mile march. Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. You know, they kind of expect when you join the military, you show up, do what you're supposed to do. If you've ever been called to court to be a juror, they kind of expect you to show up. If you ever look at the excuses, and this is not an excuse, and work is not an excuse, and you're tired is not, you better be there. Because I got several of those. You have missed two of these already. We're tired of your excuses. I'm a pastor. Drop dead. You better show up. It's NFL teams expect their team to be faithful. Dombrowski, we're paying you $20 million a year to play. Well, boss, I don't like the Packers. I don't like playing against the Packers. They hurt when they hit me. I don't like this team. And the Gatorade isn't the flavor I like. And the bench is hard. And the fans boo me and it hurts my feelings. They expect you to be there. Faithfulness. The word faithful means constant, loyal, without defect, strict performance of vows. Now, before we can be faithful, we need to know what faith is. So here's what it is. It's mentioned in many scriptures. I'll just quote some. Luke 12:28, O ye of little faith. Luke 7:9, so great faith. Luke 5:20, seeing their faith. See, faith is not just positive thinking. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not that little snippet, that thing, just keep the faith. That is not what it is. Faith has substance. It is something that's real. Jesus was in a house preaching, and four men decided to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They couldn't get in the door. It was so many people. They tore the roof off, lowered him down. And Jesus in his heart was saying, you really think I can do this, huh? That's what faith is. He seeing their faith. Luke 15:28, great is your faith. Luke 17:20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Hebrews 11:6, it pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Faith is what saves us. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you've received Christ, an old verse that says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith, God gives us the faith to believe he'll save us. And then he gives us that faith that comes by hearing the word of God. Then we call upon him from our heart and trust that he'll save us. We're saved by grace through faith. Years ago, I was at the house and For years, I've been out door to door inviting people to church many hours every week. I've just done that for years. Well, for a good while, I had either shoes that didn't work. I've got flat feet. And I think it was before I found out I had plantar fasciitis or whatever you call it. And so I would get home from soul winning and just sit in a recliner and just prop my feet up. They're just throbbing. And for years when the kids were young, I'd say, who would like to rub daddy's feet? You know, and I quote these Bible verses out of context. Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You know, it has nothing to do with hurting feet. And I'd say, who wants to? And the going rate was about a quarter. And so I could get one of the kids for a quarter to rub my feet. And then inflation came. And then it got up to a dollar. I couldn't get any of the kids to rub my feet for a dollar. And finally, I've got my feet propped up. Who's going to rub daddy's feet? And it's a dollar to rub my feet. I'm not going to tell you who, Jonathan. But he said, can I see the dollar first, Dad? And I'm thinking, look, I am good for a dollar. You know, I'm giving you my word. I'm not going to cheapskate you. And sometimes that's how it is with the Lord. Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do, but can I see how it's going to turn out first? Can I see what you're going to do for me? Can I see what the reward is first? And that's not how God operates. Because he always likes it when we believe his word. He gives us his word. Faith is obeying God's commandment, realizing he will reward us. You may not see the reward immediately, but God always rewards faith. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 6, 11 and verse 6. Jesus asked this question. Luke 8, 25. Where is your faith? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Is that not true? We pray by faith. We come to church not knowing what God's going to give us, but we realize he will give us something. We tithe by faith. We live right by faith. God always rewards faith. He always does. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 6, faith which worketh by love. It says, Ephesians 6, 16, the shield of faith. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11, your work of faith. So here it is. Faith is not just a belief. It's an action word. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith chapter. It says, by faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham offered his son. It's always a verb. It's an action word. Real faith puts us to action to do something. It moves us to action. 2 Thessalonians, Hebrews 4, 2, not being mixed with faith did not profit them. Hebrews 6, 12, by faith inherited the promises. Faith is just obeying God's word, believing he will reward it. He wants us to have faith. Now, how do you get that faith, Pastor? Faith cometh by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So that's why sometimes people get saved when we witness to them. Why? They're hearing the word of God. And all of a sudden in their heart, someone says, that makes sense. God will save me. He will save me if I ask. I'm going to ask him. And so faith comes while they're hearing. That's why we have people saved during church services or at the end of a church service, because they're hearing for the first time. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Jesus died for me, buried, rose again. He'll save me from my sins. He'll take me to heaven if I'll ask him. So that's where that faith comes from. Faithfulness. That's what God wants. Number two, how was God faithful? He wants us to be faithful. How was he faithful? I love this. The Bible says he's the author and finisher of our faith. What's that mean? The author, he's the one that wrote it, and he's the one that finished it. Here it is. Jesus was there when you got saved. He's the author. He was there. And he will be there when you leave this planet. And whatever your last words are, sayonara, see you later, adios, goodbye, I'm leaving this world behind. He'll be the one that meets you at the pearly gates, the author and finisher. I was there when you first got saved. I'm going to be the one that welcomes you into heaven with a brand new body. I love it. Stephen, the preacher, is preaching in the book of Acts, and he's now being stoned. He's dying. Stones are hitting him. People are jeering at him. But he looks up, and the heavens open, and guess who's there? Jesus. is standing at the right hand of the Father. What's he saying? Jesus says, I didn't leave you. I'm faithful. I was there when you got saved. I'm going to be here when you die. And there it is. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Revelation 19:11 says, he is faithful and true. It is a key character trait to our God. He is faithful. His name in Hebrew in Genesis 1 is a word that's pronounced Elohim. It means all strong one. And it also infers faithfulness. So there it is. The first time his name is mentioned in the Bible, he's just saying, I want you to know I'm so strong. I'm always there for you. He's always there. He's faithful. I love that verse in Lamentations 3:23. Great is thy faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. Hebrews 2:17, he's a faithful high priest. Faithful for what, Pastor? Faithful to save. There's never been a person that asked Jesus to come in their heart who understood it, who he did not save. He's faithful to save, faithful to comfort. There's broken hearts in this room today. There's disappointed hearts. There's people going through health issues. There's people with some unanswered questions in their heart. There's people with doubts in the future and fear. But he says this, I am there to comfort. He's always there. He's faithful to comfort, faithful to save, faithful to help, faithful to provide. The Bible says thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. It says in Psalm 92:2, show forth thy faithfulness every night. 1 John says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm so glad we have a faithful God. I am glad he is not moody. I'm glad he doesn't save some and doesn't want to save others. I'm glad he's not angry all the time. He's faithful. You say, well, Pastor, why does God require us to be faithful? The Bible said it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God says, I'm just telling you to be what I am. That's it. Faithful. Excuse me. Galatians 3:9 says, faithful Abraham. So these are things that God noticed about people. He said in 1 Samuel 22:14, who was faithful as David? So God looks down and says, man, I notice Abraham. That guy's faithful. I noticed David, he's faithful. Nehemiah, he's faithful. Daniel, as he was faithful. Timothy, he was faithful. I love what David said. Excuse me. It says, I will keep my eyes on the faithful of the land. David says, I tell you who I'm going to focus on, those faithful people. That's who I want to be like, faithful. Now look, not everyone can be talented, but everybody can be faithful. But there's few of those. The Bible says, a faithful man, who can find? Jesus rewards the faithful. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I was thinking of faithful people in our church that's been here for many, many years. I was thinking of Charlene Richards. She's here right now. She probably doesn't appreciate me saying this. Charlene was invited to church here over 30 years ago. Brother Steve worked with her at Mare Island. Spot and steal. He'd spot it in the daytime. She'd steal it at night. And no, I think it was a different company, but they worked at Mare Island. She came to church, got saved, and as a single parent, brought her kids, raised her kids. She started coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, involved, Sunday school, nursery. She just became faithful, became a fixture. When I knew I was going to mention her name today, I didn't have to wonder, I wonder if she's going to be here today. No, she's right here. She's usually working in the nursery right now. Faithful. Faithful. I think of Velma Sampton. I remember knocking on her son's door off of Imola a street here in Napa years ago. And I had a real long talk with him, DeAndre, and a big football player type guy. And the next thing I know, he's brought his mom to church and says, I think this is the kind of church we ought to go to. Velma's here all the time. She's a faithful lady. Faithful lady. She didn't wait on a husband to come. She didn't wait on anybody else to come. She's just been faithful. Just been faithful. You've heard the old story. Some of you are new. When I'm out soul winning, oftentimes I knock on a door and someone will say, excuse me, is Brother Steve still there? Brother Steve's driven a bus for over 35 years, taught junior church, Sunday school, all this, soul winning. Then I'll go to Yountville. I knock on her door. Excuse me, is Brother Steve still there? I go 16 miles away to Vallejo. Hello, I'm the pastor from, Pastor. Is Brother Steve still there? I go to Fairfield, 20 miles away. Is that guy, Brother Steve, still there? I think if I went to China today, they would say, oh, so is Brother Steve still there? If there's life on other planets, I'm wondering if the little green Martians would say with antennas, is Brother Steve still there? You know, I'm glad I can look at those people who expect him to still be there and say, he's still here. He didn't drop out. He didn't backslide. He didn't run from God's plan. He didn't go do anything stupid. Hey, he's still there. See, faithfulness encourages everybody. It gives stability. Kids need to have their parents still there. The great churches in America, one thing about them you'll find, the people have been there a long time and the pastor has been there a long time. You'll find that. You'll find that. God requires us to be faithful. He said, faithful Abraham. He says, commit thou to faithful men. He says, when you're going to invest in someone's life, make sure that person's faithful and sink your life into them. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, a faithful man who can find? It says 25:13, a faithful messenger refreshes his master. Anybody can be faithful. Just be faithful. Teenager, just be faithful. Single mom, just be faithful. Young couple, just be faithful. Senior citizen, just be faithful. What areas are we to be faithful in? We're to be faithful in church. Hebrews 10:25 says this. And it's interesting. Jesus started one club, if you will. And I'm using that word very slangly, very loosely. He started one thing on earth. A church. Amen. He didn't start a hospital. He didn't start a university. He didn't start a school. He didn't start a nation. He started the local church. How come? After he left, he knew there had to be some institution somewhere to encourage his church to keep going. Because he was going to die, be buried, rise from the dead. That's the gospel, the good news. He needed a church to carry that out and carry it out around the world. He started one thing, the church. It must be important. In Revelation, he's walking through the church, checking out the strengths and the weaknesses, because a weak church won't reach people. A strong church will. Amen. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I know with the COVID is different. We said, don't call in, crawl in. Now I say, if you're coughing, stay home. If you got fever, stay home. Watch online. If you're faithful, get in the doors. How come? It's not the same watching a TV screen or a watch. Or a phone. It's not the same as coming in a building, seeing a smiling face, seeing someone who's going through a tragedy in their life, but they're here and you see God sustaining them and strengthening them, and then seeing the choir and someone smiling and greeting you. It's something about it. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Who's the some is? The some is those who started missing church, watching online, missing online, now missing in action. That's why it's called backsliding. It's not back running. It's gradual. You can be involved in church a year later, not even read your Bible, not witness, not do anything for God, and he's coming back soon. And he said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not so less the less. We're not to be in church less and less and less because the governor's warning us and the mayor warns us and the CDC warns us. Now, you have to figure out your health issues yourself. But if you're healthy, you want to be in the house of God. Yeah. I'm not a medical doctor. I can't tell you how many vaccines to get. Do you need the booster? Do you need this one? Do you have that? You have that? Should you? Should you not? You got to figure that stuff out. You've got a mind. You think. You do your research. You're poor of health. You're going to have to weigh that thing health-wise because we only get one earth suit. And you want to get all the mileage out of it you can. But I know this. When I'm in church, I'm encouraged. When I'm not in church, I'm discouraged. We want to be faithful to church. My mother decided once she got saved, she'd be faithful to church. I have one brother. He's almost 4 years older than me. My mother didn't have a driver's license. My dad taught her how to drive, bought her a Carvera Monza of all things. I'll never forget that. She'd say, get in the car, it's time for church. We went Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, revival meetings, missions conference, anything that was at the church, we were there. We'd be in the middle of watching Wizard of Oz, and it only came on once a year. No video, no DVR, no recording. I mean, Dorothy had just been captured by the Wicked Witch of the West. And I'd hear my mother say, get in the car, Mom! Dorothy and Toto, get in the car, it's church. But Mom! I never found out if they ever made it. Dun, 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 dun. That music keeps going through my head. Be faithful to church. A fellow rode the church bus of Terry Angel, my friend in college. He was deaf and blind. Could not see, could not hear any. Somehow, kind of like a Helen Keller, he could write on his hand. He could communicate somehow that way. Someone asked him, they said, why do you bother riding the bus 35 miles to church? You cannot see, you cannot hear. You cannot get anything out of the church service. Why do you do this? He wrote back, to show whose side I'm on. You know, every Sunday morning when people see your car pull out, you're showing the whole neighborhood, look whose side we're on. Just want you to know whose side we're on. I texted our friend, Brother Rule, who does the camp we go to, Tim Rule. He was a high school quarterback. Then he was a college quarterback. He didn't play for Ohio State University, but did play for a college in Ohio. So him and his wife, Terry, were at the Rose Bowl yesterday. They got tickets. Since his team didn't make the playoff, they were like fifth or sixth. They were in the Rose Bowl against Utah. So I knew he was at the game. So I texted him, hey, I'm so glad you get to go to the game. Have fun, make memories. I get a picture. Next on my phone, it's him and his wife, Ohio State University, t-shirts. They're posing with some guy in the stands. They won the game in the last 9 seconds. I think it was 55-48, almost 100-point score. It was crazy. You know, I wasn't shocked he had his t-shirt on. I wasn't shocked he had Ohio State University. He had picked his team and his side before he even got there. He was showing whose side he was on. Faithfulness. Faithful to church. Number two, faithful to prayer. We need to be faithful in prayer this year. Now, what's that mean? Just show up every day. Show up every day, just you and the Lord. He's waiting. Make an appointment with him. Set a time. Lord, it's just you and me. Got some things to talk to you about. Got some things I need to ask you about. Got some things I need to tell you about. Got some things I need to confess to you about. There's some things I need to ask you for, Lord. He's your Father. Why do we miss our appointments? He has things for you. He loves you. He knows what your needs are. He knows what to give you that you don't even know what to ask for yet. Faithful to prayer. Number next. Well, let me just say this. For years, Mrs. Brown, who's here today, Jackie Brown, taught Sunday school 45 years or more, made all the Muppets for the Muppet ministry. She came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every service, taught junior church to the primaries. Her husband, Dewey, never came. I was told for years, well, Dewey's not saved. I went to try to talk to him. I remember riding in the car with him once. I said, now, Dewey, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to talk to him all these years. I said, you know, your wife comes to this church. If you ever die, I'll probably do your funeral. So where do I tell people you went? So how you like that coming in the back door? You like that? Anyway, and he says, tell them I went to heaven. He said, I got saved years ago, but just didn't feel the need for going to church. He said, I'm saved. I said, well, great. 33 years, Jackie came to church here. Amen. Without him. Amen. Without him. Amen. Faithful. Every service. Every service. Never had to ask, where's Miss Brown? No, she's always here, always in church. Amen. And she prayed for her husband. Lord, what's it going to take? I want to sit by my husband. I'm married. I want him to come to church. One day she slipped at the house and fell and broke her arm. Had it in a sling. That next Sunday, guess who's sitting next to her? Her husband. I said, Dewey, I'm glad you're here. I'm not trying to be nosy, but I'm just real glad you're here. I said, so what kind of brought you to church? He said, well, Jackie needs someone to hold the songbook. Miss Brown said, if I'd have known that's what it took to get him to church, I'd have broke my arm 33 years ago. You know what that was? The faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of a woman praying who didn't give up after 33 years. Amen. God wants us faithful in church. He wants us faithful in prayer. He wants us faithful in the Word of God. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. This book here, you may not understand it all, but if you'll read some of it every day, you just read till you get something. So, well, I understand all the these and thous, Pastor. Okay, well, here you are. Here's the class. Thee means you. Thou means you. Ye means you. So now you understand the whole Bible. Look, there you go. If you hit something you don't understand, treat it like fish. If it's a bone, you take the bone out. You don't give up fish. You just keep eating. There's enough in here. Mark Twain said, it's not the part of the Bible I don't understand that bothers me. It's the part I do understand that bothers me. You say, I just don't understand it. Well, you're telling on yourself. The Bible is written in a fifth grade education. That's the level of the writing. Fifth grade. Do you know more than a fifth grader? Oh, I think that's a TV show. Okay, so here we are. Prayer. Bible. Here's one quickly. Child rearing. You're just going to have to be faithful. Don't give up. You know who knows how to rear children? People who've never had children. They're the greatest parents. They could write books on it. It gets hard. Oh, look how cute. Oh, 99, 99. Then when they had about 13, I don't even want to live here. What? It's not as easy. If you've got little children, just stay after it. There's chastening time. There's correcting time. There's embracing time. Never criticize how anybody's kids ever turned out because you don't know all the circumstances and everyone has choices that they make. Never look down on a parent because a child has broken their heart. But you just want to stick with it. I think of a couple of parents years ago had no clue. I think they read Dr. Spock's book on let the kids run around naked, never tell the kids no, give them everything they want, let them eat Frosted Flakes for breakfast. It was, you know, that's how they raised their kids. And all of a sudden, they couldn't take the kids anywhere. The kids were embarrassing them. Their kids were always in trouble. They made an appointment. And I said, do you have any rules? They said, rules? I said, okay, there you go. I said, you know, like God has 10 commandments. Once you have some rules, like no running in the house, just start with simple. No, obey right away. Clean your plate. Don't touch your brothers or sisters. No back talk. I said, simple. Oh, okay. They're writing them down. The next day was Sunday. Two other kids came to church, and I saw them bewildered. It was like, we have rules at our house. I mean, it looked like they were on some sedative or something. We have rules. Dad wrote them down. We got 10 of them. They're on the refrigerator. You're just going to have to work at it. What else? You say, Pastor, it's past 12. I know, but I was here past midnight the other night. just for the New Year's Eve service. My head is still... No, I'm kidding. Quickly, be faithful in soul winning. This coming Saturday, we'll be out soul winning. We'll take tracts, go to neighborhoods, pair up. You cannot give the gospel to the wrong person. You say, Pastor, well, what if I give a gospel tract to someone and they don't want it? Here's the good news. They'll let you know. Judson Taylor. Excuse me, Judson, Adoniram Judson in Burma. Preached the gospel for 6 years. Passed out thousands and thousands of gospel tracts there in Burma. No one got saved. After 6 years, he had his first convert. But he was faithful. He translated the Bible into their language. After 30 years, there were 200,000 Burmese Christians because of Adoniram Judson, because he was faithful. There was the Pacific Garden Mission, a homeless rescue mission in Chicago. It's still operating now, over 100 years old. The job of one man was to stand at the door and just try to motion in homeless people, derelicts, prostitutes, drunkards, folks who are wandering by. Hey, a gospel service, a warm bed, a hot meal. Come on in. Jesus loves you. That was his job. It was sub-zero weather that night. It was his job. No one's going to be walking down the street in that kind of weather. But he was outside in that weather. Finally, he saw a man. Sir, hot meal. Come on in. The man came in for the service. He got saved at the altar. That man's name was Mel Trotter. Mel had taken the shoes off of his baby that was in a casket, sold them at the pawn shop to buy his last drink. He was headed to commit suicide. He just felt like he couldn't be forgiven of that. He got saved. He grew in Christ. He ended up starting 51 rescue missions all around the country. How come? A man stood in the door and was faithful. Hot meal. Hey, the gospel. Come on in. A warm bed. Hey, he did what he was supposed to do. Faithful. Soul winning. Faithful in giving. Heard about a lady. She was getting up during the service. Somehow lost her balance. She was elderly. Fell down. Hit her head on the edge of the pew. And so they had to call an ambulance. And she was starting to come to. And she started whispering and calling for her grown daughter that was in the church service. And as she came to her, they thought maybe she had some last words or something. And she said, my offering is in my purse. My offering is in my purse. You want to be faithful giving. Someone said there's three books to bring to church. The good book, the song book, and the checkbook. And that's if your checks are good. My wife and I, years ago, we were looking when President Clinton was the president. And at the end of the year, it printed something about his finances and his giving. The president made, back then, $200,000 a year plus all their appearances and all this. The Clintons that year gave $10,000 to all the different charities they gave to. $10,000 total. I looked at my wife, I said, you and I have given more than that this year, and that was 15 years ago. I said, we've given more than that ourselves. Amen. See, giving is never based on what you have. It's always a heart condition. It's always a heart condition. You want to be faithful in giving, faithful in serving. I'm almost done. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, very well known, started the China Inland Mission to reach the nation of China. There he goes right there. There he is. That's Hudson right there. And he was asked to speak at a small church. Inclement weather came, a big snowstorm. One of his friends said, Taylor, no one's going to show up in this weather. Don't go to that church. No one's going to show up. It's going to be a waste of your time. J. Hudson Taylor did show up. It was only 12 people there. And he preached and he was faithful and gave it his best. Six of those people in the service surrendered to become foreign missionaries. And the other six decided to give faithfully to the China Inland Mission financially the rest of their lives. All because he was faithful. He was faithful. I said, Pastor, you're coming down from landing? Coming down for a landing. You're going to be faithful in your marriage. I know it's California. It's whoever you're married to now. You want to be faithful to them. Our friend Keith and Carla Gomez. Carla got pancreatic cancer and passed quickly. On her deathbed, she said, Keith, come here. We've been married over 30 years. I just want you to know, I've always been faithful to you. He looked at his wife and said, Carla, I've always been faithful to you. How important. You want to be faithful. And then I'm done with this. One day, there'll be a time where there is no more faith. In 1 Peter 1:9, the Bible says, in the end of your faith. See, right now we say, man, I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven, but we've never seen heaven. I want to serve the Lord, and I've never seen the Lord. So it's all by faith what we do. But God says one day our faith will be over. When we get to heaven, we'll see him. We'll recognize him by the nail prints in his hands. We'll see the golden streets. We'll see our loved ones who've beat us to heaven. And faith will be no more. Until then, we need to be faithful. God blesses it, and God will bless you this year. You want to be blessed? Just be faithful to him. In all these areas we're talking about. If you're here tonight, this morning without Christ, and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, I can tell you this, if you call upon him from your heart, he is faithful. He'll save you today. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. In a moment, someone will play. If you've never been saved, we hope that today you'll trust Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today.